Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different web development businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the third of the series, and I interview Steph Corrigan of Steph Corrigan Design, currently based in Monterey, California. Steph helps small businesses create intentional and strategic branding and websites. Her work is both beautiful and impacts a business's bottom line. In this episode, Steph shares the details of her marketing system, what's working well, and what she's learned throughout her entrepreneurial journey. Make sure to visit the show notes and get all the links from this episode. Steph, I'm super pumped to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So you've built this incredible branding and website design business for other small businesses. And I'd love to hear and share with our listeners a little more about what makes your approach unique.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say one thing that kind of makes my approach unique is that I consider myself a strategic designer. That can kind of mean different things to different people. But what I really mean by that is that everything that I do, so all the designs that I create, it's all done really intentionally and with my clients' goals in mind. So before I create any kind of design work, I always like to really take the time to get to know their business. So basically like the goals that they're working towards, what their values are, and like their vision for their business in general. And basically I refer back to that, like as I'm going through my process and making sure that everything is in alignment with, you know, what goals they're trying to reach and yeah, what they're trying to create.
Yeah. And so I'm assuming that most of your clients are reaching out to you not just because they want to have something that looks pretty, but also because there's some specific business goals in mind that are driving the desire for a rebrand or the desire for a new or revamped website. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of designers, especially, you know, designers who maybe aren't as experienced, they are so focused on just creating something that looks really good. And I think, you know, aesthetics are definitely really important, you know, for a designer. But I think there's so much potential for design to be used strategically to actually like move the business forward and get you closer to reaching your goals.
100%. So maybe you can share a little bit more about the services that you offer in your agency.
Yeah, for sure. So my signature services are branding and web design, and most clients that I work with come to me for both because they kind of go hand in hand. But I do also sometimes work with businesses that like maybe they just need help with the rebranding piece or, you know, redoing their website. So I do work with like just one or the other, but usually for both. And then in addition to that, I also offer a few other services that are for businesses who either aren't quite ready to invest in a full branding or web design experience. So other ways that we could work together would be to do like a brand audit. So basically assessing, you know, where their brand is at and, you know, what they need help with and how to sort of get them to that next level. And then I also offer a few like website templates for anyone who like needs to redo their website, but maybe doesn't want to go through that whole, you know, custom process for whatever reason. Maybe they're just not ready to go to that next level. And then I also offer day rates for anyone who needs any kind of like design work done that wouldn't really fit into like the branding or web design experience.
That's amazing. So a couple questions about that. For your web design services, are they platform specific? And does it just include the design, or are you also building the website for your clients?
So for web design, I mostly work with WordPress. That's just what I sort of specialize in and have the most experience with. And I also sometimes work with other platforms like Squarespace or Showit or, you know, things like that. But it's mostly WordPress. And yeah, so it's kind of like a all-inclusive experience. So we do like the strategy up front, then the design, and then also the development.
Amazing. And I think it's great to focus on one platform. And the reason I ask is in case anyone's listening and thinking, oh, I need a new site. Like, should I work with Steph? I know sometimes people have very specific platform requirements due to the nature of the business and what they're selling. And so understanding up front, hey, Steph mainly does WordPress, I think is really helpful for someone who might be considering, do I need a website designer?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's say someone is asking themselves that question, like, is my business ready for new branding and or a new website? When might you suggest they seek out your services? And is there some sort of common denominator around what your clients are facing that's making them think about a rebrand or a new website?
Yeah, so I think there are a few different signs that you might be ready to invest in branding or web design. I think one of them is just that basically, you've outgrown whatever you currently have. So maybe you DIY'd your branding in the past, or you like bought some templates off Etsy or whatever. Basically, for whatever reason, you feel like whatever you have now just isn't really serving your business as well as it could and doesn't really represent the vision that you have and isn't helping you get to that next level. So a lot of the people that I work with, they already have like an established business. They've worked with some clients or sold some products or whatever it is that they do, but they basically feel like their branding or their website just doesn't align with what they want their business to be. And then I think the other piece of that is for someone who maybe just wants to step into a higher level of for their business. So maybe they want to position their brand to have like a more premium look and feel so that they can raise their rates. Or maybe they are looking to call in a new audience who maybe won't resonate with their current branding. So I guess those are two kind of places that I would say businesses are at when they're like ready to invest in branding or web design.
Yeah, that's super helpful. So there's either a period of transition or maybe a pivot to a new audience or transitioning to new prices, or they've gotten by with what they have because maybe they bootstrapped their site in the beginning or, you know, whatever led them down that path. And now they're saying, you know, thinking, okay, I need something better. I need something that's going to amplify sales and properly represent me online.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. So you've been doing this for, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking it's 3 years you've had your own design studio?
Yeah, I actually just celebrated my 3-year milestone running this business full time.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's a big milestone.
Thank you. Thanks.
So kind of why did you decide to go full time and start your own design studio?
Basically, I just wanted freedom in like the most, you know, basic sense. I really just wanted to be my own boss and yeah, essentially take charge of my destiny, as cliche as that sounds. Before I started this business, I was working at like a 9-to-5 office job, and I was there for about 2 years. And basically, I just felt kind of stuck, and I couldn't really see myself working in that kind of environment long term. And it wasn't design related at all. I actually studied neuroscience in college. And so I was working in like a sort of medical office setting. And so anyway, so I was working there and just didn't feel like it was a good path, but I didn't know what to do. So I kind of just started exploring different career options. And I've always been like a creative person and loved doing like creative hobbies, but I had never really considered doing like a creative career. And so somehow I stumbled upon like web design and graphic design, and I started taking online courses while I was working, just like in my spare time. So I took courses for about 8 months, and then I basically just quit and decided to go all in on this design business. So it's, yeah, so that was about 3 years ago, and basically just been doing it ever since and haven't really looked back.
That's an amazing story. And oh my gosh, neuroscience, that's like, that sounds like all my hardest classes at school, like my worst nightmare in terms of studying, but that's really impressive. And I have a similar story and also came from a medical device corporate career before I ended up starting my own business. So I can really resonate with wanting to take charge of your destiny a little bit. And I think the fact that you can, you know, do online education on the side in order to pivot to a new career is just such an amazing thing about the time we live in, right? You didn't go back to school for graphic design, you know, which I don't think is needed for what we do. I did a lot of my marketing education online, certainly learned a lot more there than I did through my MBA. So I just think that's a really cool story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely felt that as well when I was working at my job. I was like, well, I have this neuroscience degree, but all I can really do with that is like go to grad school and, you know, become a doctor or get a PhD. And just the thought of like going back to school for another 5 or 6 years just didn't feel right. It just wasn't what I wanted to be doing. And so, yeah, I think it's really amazing that today we can just like take courses and there's just so much potential for, yeah, running an online business, whether that's in design or you know, any other field, really.
100%. And, you know, I'm imagining your neuroscience background actually comes in very handy when you're thinking about design and branding and how people move through online assets. I'd imagine there's a lot of psychology and science behind that.
Yeah. So I guess the reason I wanted to study neuroscience is that I was really interested in human behavior. And at the time, I was thinking about it in like a medical context or like a psychology context, but it does come into play when you're thinking about marketing and like how people make decisions. And it's kind of interesting to see how it sort of came full circle. I'm not like actively a neuroscience, but I think having that background has definitely been helpful as I'm basically working with people and creating brands that, you know, help people make decisions and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, humans have to interact with your work all day, every day. So I think that's a really amazing story that connects dots in a way that maybe you wouldn't have anticipated when you were studying neuroscience, for example. So, you know, you've been doing this for 3 years, and I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of how you market your business and how you get in front of new clients. Is that primarily word of mouth? Is there anything else you're doing that you're finding is working really well for you or maybe not so well for you?
Yeah. So I've kind of done a lot of just experimenting with my marketing over the past few years. So right now, well, as of recently, I've been getting a lot of work through referrals, which has been amazing. But aside from that, I would say the number one way that people find out about my business is actually through Google. So I've been blogging, basically. I started blogging like as soon as I launched my website. It was just something that I knew right away that I wanted to do because I enjoy writing. And when I first started, I didn't really have any kind of strategy. I didn't know anything about keywords or SEO. I was just kind of like trying to share my knowledge and see what happens. And over time, I've been able to learn more about SEO and how to write content more strategically. And today, it's like the number one way that people are finding me.
Wow, that's awesome to have a experiment go so well that you didn't really anticipate thinking about in that way. And I just think it speaks to the power of content marketing and be able to speak authoritatively on your subject matter, I think it can really stand out, especially in an area of expertise that maybe people don't always understand the ins and outs of branding or web design and everything that goes into it. I think sometimes people think, oh, it's just a couple colors together, or, oh, you know, there's, you know, they just don't know because it's not their area of expertise. And so I imagine a lot of your work really helps demonstrate that in terms of your blogging.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's so much potential for really any kind of business to just like write about your industry and use that to like position yourself as an expert in what you're doing, because you're right. Like the people who are searching Google, looking up like what are logo variations, they're going to find you and they, you know, will read your post. And if it was helpful, they'll, you know, build that trust in your brand and potentially want to work with you. So yeah, blogging has been really great for my business. And I've also been, you know, kind of active on Pinterest and been able to like repurpose my content that way to get more traffic as well. And then in addition to that, I'm also active on like Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, the content marketing is really kind of the core of like my marketing strategy.
Yeah, and what's nice about it is you have this content you're already creating for your site, and then you're using these other channels to meet people where they're at and get their eyeballs from there over to your blog posts. Like, for example, you have a great recent post on pastel color palettes that I imagine really catches some eyes on Pinterest or Instagram specifically because they're so visual. And then I imagine that brings people over to your site.
Yeah, definitely. The visual content, like the color palettes, the font pairings, things like that are very popular. So that the pastel color palettes post is actually one of the like top posts that like drives traffic to my website.
That's so interesting. And can I ask, are most of your clients female?
Yes, they are.
Because I was just thinking the pastel color palette is really a great, it seems to me more geared towards females if I were to hazard a guess, but that doesn't mean that men can't also like pastel color palettes.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely do work with men as well. I don't try and like target a specific male or female, but yeah, basically I just try and attract whoever is going to resonate with what I'm putting out there, my personal style just happens to be slightly more feminine. So I think because of that, I tend to attract more women.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about your content, how do you stay consistent? How do you find time among all your client work? That's one of the biggest challenges I hear when I talk to business owners is, oh, I'm so busy fulfilling all the client work, I can't possibly have time to create enough content to market my business. And so what would you say to someone who may be at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be a struggle to be consistent. I definitely still struggle with it as well. I think one thing that's helpful is just to make sure that you're prioritizing your marketing. So that could mean like maybe set aside one day a week where you're working on your business as opposed to in your business. So I think we have a tendency to like put our client work above everything else. And that means that we're like not showing up, we're not creating content, we're not focusing on sales and things like that. But just having that like mindset of like, this is really important for me to do in order to be able to keep the business going. So that's one thing that's been helpful for me, is just to like set aside one day a week, or if I'm, you know, really busy, then maybe a half day, but just setting aside some time in your schedule to make sure that you are doing the marketing.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. I love batching. I think when you have dedicated time set aside and you get a big chunk of content done at one time, then it's easier to be consistent because you're not creating a new piece necessarily. Every time you sit down, you might be creating a couple pieces. So you get a little bit of a break in between batching sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I feel like there's a lot of pressure to constantly be creating new content, but I think you can also get creative with what you've already created and try and repurpose it. So for example, I write a lot of blog posts, but I can easily repurpose those posts into like a series of Instagram posts or stories or reels or anything like that. So there's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of different ways to use what you've already created and kind of take off that pressure of like always having to create something new.
Love that. So A couple things I noticed when I was on your site is that in addition to all this great content, you have some great ways to qualify leads. So one is just, hey, someone's ready to work with you now. Let's get them on a discovery call or have them submit an inquiry. And then the second thing I noticed is you have all these great lead magnets. So free content that you give away in exchange for someone's email address. Can you talk about how those two work in tandem for you and how they help your marketing?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say, so most people find me, like I said, through my blog. And when they land on my website, they're either there because they're like interested in, or they're like actively looking for design support. And in that case, they might feel called to book a discovery call with me. And then we would have like a conversation. And then the other side of it is people who are kind of just like researching and Googling a few different things. Maybe they don't know that much about branding or, you know, what would go into a web design process. And so in that case, they might feel called to download one of my free offers. And basically that gives them like a taste of what I do and what it would be like to work with me. And then they're on my email list. So they're getting like, you know, biweekly newsletters, and basically I'm trying to like nurture them over time so that when, if and when they are ready to like invest in one of my services, they'll kind of already be warmed up.
Yeah. And you'll be top of mind because you've been the person who's been reaching out to them twice a month over and over again. So I just think it's really smart. And I think, especially in the creative kind of service industry space, so often we have that inquiry form, right? But we forget about lead magnets or these free offers, as you call them, and think, oh, people are just going to remember us even if 6 months from now, you know, they're not ready to hire me till 6 months from now. And I think we forget how many messages people are bombarded with. And unless you're a referral, they might not remember you 6 months from now because so much time has passed. So I just think it's, I don't know, to me, it really stood out because you have some beautiful freebies, the mood board templates, SEO checklist, the brand clarity workbook. And if it were me and I were looking for a new website, that would really stand out to me and make me think, wow, Steph really knows what she's talking about. And she's educated me along the way. So I better know what I'm hiring for.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's exactly what I aim to do. Basically, creating offers to kind of meet people where they're at, because everyone is, you know, at a different stage of their business journey, and maybe they're not ready for like a full experience, and that's totally fine. At least I can sort of support them in the meantime through like educational content to help them get to that next stage.
I think that's fabulous. And so when you send your newsletter biweekly, are you also repurposing content from the blog and social, but you're just getting it in front of them in a different platform, one that's presumably a little easier to get inbox placement than it is to get social media placement in the algorithm?
Yeah, exactly. I basically do exactly that. So I'll share links to some of my recent blog posts or Instagram posts, or if I have like some announcements or special offers going on, basically all of that goes into the newsletter.
Yeah, I think that's super smart. And what I love about your whole system is on the outside, it might appear like there's a lot of moving pieces, and it's not that there aren't, but you're really using your core blog content to feed all of those different channels. And it just makes it so much simpler, if that makes sense. Like maybe it's not easy to create all the content, but it's a simple system where you have a core piece of content and then distribute it on all these different channels.
Yeah, definitely. And it's taken a lot of time to get to this place, but I do feel that keeping things simple and, you know, doable and sustainable is really important.
I agree. And what do you think has been the biggest reason for success with your content marketing now? Is it because you're batching, setting aside dedicated time to create content and making sure that happens consistently? Or is there anything else in there that you feel like may have also helped you?
That's a good question. I think one of the things that's been helpful for me specifically is that I actually really enjoy writing. And so writing can feel like kind of a block for a lot of people if they're not used to it or they just don't feel comfortable doing it. But for me, it sort of comes naturally. And I feel like it's the easiest way for me to express myself. And Yeah, so it definitely helps that it's something that I actually enjoy doing it, and that makes it a little bit easier to motivate myself to do it consistently.
Yeah, and I think sometimes even if you're not a writer, maybe you like speaking, or maybe you like having someone interview you about your area of expertise, so that you could always record an audio of that and then transcribe it and then, you know, have someone edit it and turn it into written content. So I think so often it's easy to say, not you, Steph, but it's easy to say, oh, I'm not a writer, so I can't create content. But there's so many other ways to create content and still convey your authority without necessarily sitting down and like pencil to paper writing.
Yeah, that's true. There's so many possibilities.
100%. Well, if you were thinking about someone who's a little earlier on in their journey than you are, and they're working on their marketing, what might be one piece of advice you'd give them?
So I would recommend someone who's early on to not try and spread themselves too thin by trying to try out all these different marketing channels. I feel like there's so many different ways to market your business. And, you know, with like new platforms like TikTok and Clubhouse, there's all these like shiny objects all around us. And it feels like we need to be showing up everywhere. And I think that can actually be kind of derail you, because basically I think it's better to just focus on like one thing at a time and get really good at that. And then once you have that sort of foundational marketing strategy that works for you, from there you can sort of build off of that and try out other platforms.
Yeah, because let's say you're creating content, it's not just about publishing on Instagram or publishing on TikTok, maybe with TikTok because of their FYP platform and they're allowing new people to discover you. But for the most part, you still have to do a lot of work to get that content in front of people on that platform. It's not always a, let me just publish and then hundreds, thousands of people see it.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of work that goes into it on any platform. And it can definitely be really overwhelming to try and figure out, you know, a strategy for each different marketing platform.
Yeah, so I think your advice is so smart to let me do one platform really well, and then I'll expand once I get the hang of that.
Yep, exactly.
Well, Steph, I so appreciate your time today and expertise. If someone's listening to this episode and they want to go check you out, they want to take a look at all your amazing freebies, maybe even ask you about working on a new website for them, where might they find you online?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you again so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun. I would say the best way to find me is through my website at stephcorrigan.com, and there you'll be able to find all of the different freebies that we mentioned, and as well as my blog. And otherwise, I love hanging out on Instagram, and you can find me there at Steph Corrigan Design.
Great. All of those links will be in the show notes, so make sure to check those out. Heck yeah! You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.